This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Friday, March 22nd. I'm Julia Caulfield.
And I'm Gavin McGough.
In today's headlines, Telluride Town Council member summoned in hit and run.
Go wild for spring.
Forecast calls for purple rain.
And a mountain weather forecast.
Telluride Town Council member Jesse Ray Arguelles is due in court next week for an alleged hit-and-run incident in December. According to a police report from the Telluride Marshals Department, deputies received a call around 6:30 p.m. on December 9, 2023, regarding the hit-and-run. The victim told Marshal deputies she heard someone hit her vehicle in her carport, which was pushed into the side of her house from the impact, shaking the home. Several days later, the victim met again with law enforcement, saying she found a note on her car from Arguelles saying, quote, "I hit your car. It was super icy. Please call me. I am sorry." The victim also said Arguelles stated she was not driving the car and asked her not to report to police. But according to the victim, Arguelles said she would take responsibility for repairs. In the report, Marshal deputies say they made multiple attempts to contact Arguelles, but were unable until January 8th when deputies issued a summons. Arguelles is facing summons on property damage, hit and run, and operating an uninsured motor vehicle after deputies discovered Arguelles had a vehicle insurance policy starting on the day of the incident, but they could not determine the time coverage began. KOTO News reached out to the attorney representing Arguelles as well as the town of Telluride. Neither were available for comment by broadcast deadline. Arguelles is currently serving her second term on Telluride Town Council. She ran for Telluride mayor in 2023. Arguelles is scheduled to appear in court on Thursday, March 28th at 10 a.m.
A little spring sun can be a mood boost. It can retool your biorhythms after a long winter. Well, the wildlife feel it too. Spring brings countless transitions in the natural world, and we called up our district ranger with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, Mark Caddy, to chat about our local fauna. He says they'll be following the return of plant life.
One of the first places it seems to green up anymore is alongside the highways. It tends to get a little more water because of the runoff and stuff, so basically, we'll start seeing a little more activity right along the edge of the highway as the deer and elk get on the green. The other thing is large numbers of them will be moving up into the summer range. So as the snow goes off, be aware you may run, you may see bigger numbers moving than what you normally see. And best thing you can do there, just give them time to get across the road and get away from the vehicles and everything.
In town, that movement of elk is pretty predictable. For anyone familiar with the spur of Highway 145 in springtime, you know the drill.
So up in the Telluride country, they'll move from the Aldisaro side of the Box Canyon over, of course, they'll utilize the valley floor once the snow's off. But their fawning or their calving ground for elk is primarily up in that Prospect Basin area and over towards Alta Lakes. So that for that Telluride country, that's what you're going to see is the elk move across back into the valley floor and then finally back up into Prospect Basin in that country.
During the fawning season, Caddy adds, elk mothers will leave their young for extended periods of time, even 12 hours, before returning and leading a calf to new terrain. If you find a lone elk calf, it's best to leave it and avoid the area for a while. On to another large mammal well known to Telluride, Caddy says black bears will start to rouse from their slumber.
Days are getting longer, which is primarily what drives a bear for hibernation is the length of the day. They may come out of their den here, wander around, then go back in and sleep for a little while longer, but they could also start coming out. And of course, as they come out, they're going to be hungry.
Bears like to start with some lighter fare to awaken the palate, says Caddy.
Bears will graze on the grass first because they've got to get their digestive system back to working again and after the hibernation. So you'll see them eating on the green grass, but eventually they're going to start hitting on more calories. And so, again, they'll be back.
Last summer, Colorado Parks and Wildlife officers had to euthanize a bear along the river trail in town, which had become sick with a blocked intestine from consuming human trash. The event was a somber reminder that to keep wildlife safe and wild, proper trash storage is vital. Caddy says this extends to bird feeders.
I know everybody loves to feed the birds up there, and I understand that desire, but the problem with bird feeders, whether it be hummingbird or just seeds, it's another bear attract. And so, you know, if folks really want to attract hummingbirds to their house, I would strongly suggest that they plant flowers that are, you know, more attractive to hummingbirds and do it naturally instead of having sugar water outside their house and just make an attraction for the bears. And overall, it's more healthier for the birds when they get their food from a natural source.
And planting flowers? What better spring activity than that?
This Monday, the Wilkinson Public Library holds its monthly listening club. It's like a book club, but for albums. Claybrook Penn will lead the March Club with her work of choice, Prince's 1984 album, Purple Rain. KOTO News spoke with Penn about her selection.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
It starts with like a call to worship. It starts with gospel organ and him saying, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life." And he goes on to give a whole sermon. And that's the first 30 seconds of the album.
You can always see the sun, day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be all right.
I do view it as sort of perfect. There are no skips on this album. And in an era where we are so distracted by everything, we cannot listen to anything for more than 15 to 30 seconds. This album has everything you want to hear. It explores every side of this particular artist. There's a point towards the middle of the album where it gets a little experimental. Again, for a pop album, it gets a little edgy. And those are the songs Computer Blue and Darling Nikki. And I mean, I challenge you to listen to Darling Nikki and A, not laugh, but B, not be like, that's sexy, that's hot.
I knew a girl named Nikki, I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine. She said, "How'd you like to waste some time?" And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind.
It's just so much fun. It's so campy. I love it. And also, it's perfect pop music for 1984. I'm going to get a little wonky here just to say that, like, one of the things that's fun about this album is that it has all these 80s, you might call them sound effects, but it's synths. It has all these synthesizer effects and, you know, the Lynn drum machine, which is so part of Prince's sound and what is now called the Minneapolis sound. But what's cool about this is, you know, I was born in 1982. This album and film came out in 1984. And so the sounds of my childhood, in the sense of pop music, in the sense of what these drum hits are, those are sounds that you hear on Purple Rain. Just take me with you. And then it closes out with the greatest slow jam ballad banger of all time. Purple Rain is one of the greatest examples of a slow jam ballad that is somehow anthemic, and it becomes almost a thesis statement of what this artist's music is about. I never meant to call you in pain. Listen to it because it's fun, because it makes you like dance around your living room.
Claybrook Penn will lead the March Listening Club on Purple Rain on Monday, March 25th at 6 p.m. at the Telluride Music Company. More information is available at tellurideliberary.org. I don't want to be some kind of friend.
If it's a single-use plastic, it's probably time to pitch it in the bin for good. Telluride, like many peer municipalities, has successfully phased out plastic bags since it banned them in 2011. Now, the town's Ecology Commission is taking aim at a much broader swath of single-use plastics, from straws to food and beverage containers, cutlery to toothpick wrappers. The ban dates to an ordinance passed in November 2022, but many of its provisions will go into effect this July. In preparation, the Ecology Commission is hosting two information sessions at the Wilkinson Library to discuss the coming changes. The first is Sunday, March 24th at 4 p.m., with another to follow on Monday the 25th at 10 a.m., Interested folks can also attend via Zoom, with registration and more information available at bit.ly/totplastics. Reducing single-use plastics, Town says, will curb greenhouse gas emissions and water use associated with their manufacture, protect wildlife both here and afar, and perhaps keep town streets a bit cleaner.
The San Miguel County Planning Commission has been updating the county's land use code to address large-scale solar development for almost 10 months now. Through public input, Planning Commission work sessions, and the guidance of consultants, those regulations are coming into shape. Bearing a direct impact on where and how much solar development can go in different parts of the county, the process has been the source of much public interest. And says Planning Commission Chair Lee Taylor, quote, "We really appreciate the community's active and vocal engagement with the process." There's another opportunity to make your voice heard on the future of solar power in San Miguel County next week, on Wednesday, March 27th. The commissioners will hold a work session beginning at 9:30 a.m. with members in both Norwood and Telluride, coordinated via Zoom, to discuss the latest draft regulations. Individuals can attend at the Norwood Sheriff's Annex, the Miramonte Building in Telluride, or via Zoom at sanmiguelcountyco.gov.
Several Democratic state lawmakers want to set uniform requirements for public meetings to ensure people have access. They're sponsoring a bill that would apply to both state and local government. It would require any public meetings be streamed online, with the opportunity for the public to comment virtually. The bill would also require any relevant documents to be available for download at least 24 hours before a meeting. If governments don't comply, it would be considered discrimination based on disability. The bill was approved by a legislative committee on Wednesday and moves to debate on the House floor.
The fate of abortion access in Wyoming may soon be up to the state Supreme Court. A Teton County judge ruled this week it's time for the High Court to decide if the state's near total and medical abortion bans are constitutional. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Hannah Mersbach of Jackson Hole Community Radio reports.
The Wyoming Supreme Court has previously denied similar requests to rule on the future of abortion, saying there wasn't enough of a factual record and sending it back to the lower court. But this time around may be different. University of Wyoming law professor Ken Chestick says this case is more developed and that it's widely accepted that no matter what, it'll end up in the hands of the Supreme Court.
Whoever loses this lawsuit at the trial court will appeal it to the Supreme Court. So this is a way of getting it there more quickly, I think.
The Teton County judge asked the High Court to weigh in on 14 questions about if the state's abortion bans violates Wyomingites' rights to equal protection, due process, and religious freedom. But one question reigns over all.
Does this law violate that right to health care? If not, then we'll get to the other issue.
Chestick, also a Democratic state representative, says if the court takes the case up, a decision won't come for another 6 months. At a minimum. In the meantime, abortion remains legal in Wyoming. Hannah Mersbach, KHOL News.
Smartphones can be a big distraction for students, and high school teachers often have to police cell phone use in their classrooms to keep kids focused. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Aspen Public Radio's Hallie Zander reports on how Aspen School District staff are joining schools across the country and considering new policies to remove this distraction. But even the toughest district-wide policies may not be enough to curb smartphone addiction.
It's an average Thursday afternoon between classes at Aspen High School. Students are shuffling from one classroom to another, most of them chatting with their friends, but some are on their phones.
First of all, where are your phones right now?
In my lap.
That's Josie Brands. As a sophomore, she's got some pretty good boundaries with her phone. Her parents don't allow her to have social media, which naturally limits her screen time.
I do see a lot of people just on their phones, completely disconnected, and that makes me sad.
But she still thinks what they're doing now at Aspen High School is good enough if it's enforced. The current policy has teachers collect cell phones at the beginning of each class. Students put their phones in what looks like a shoe hanger that has a pocket for each person. Journalism teacher Sarah Ward uses this to take attendance.
But let's get phones in pockets and sit down, please.
So if someone doesn't turn their phone in, they get marked absent. But she says enforcement can be tough, so not all teachers do it.
Then I have to redirect them many times to put the phone in the pocket.
And she's caught a student putting a dummy phone or a burner phone in their pocket once before, while keeping their real smartphone at their desk. Students say their peers do this a lot, and some even compare the compulsion to check their smartphones to cocaine addiction. According to a survey conducted by the Aspen School District, though, nearly all students said smartphones aren't a problem in their classrooms. But the students we spoke to had more nuanced opinions.
Personally, I don't think it's healthy.
Aspen junior Gia Galindo Bartley fantasizes about a day when she won't need a smartphone anymore for her social life.
I don't know. In high school, not having a phone really disconnects you from your peers. When you're an adult, it might be easier.
The Aspen School District is considering limiting cell phone use more than it does now, like making students put their phones in a locked pouch during the whole school day, or allowing only dumb phones, like flip phones, on campus that don't have internet or social media access. Even though Galindo Bartley hopes she can disconnect one day, the thought of using a dumb phone all the time
makes me want to peel my skin off, personally.
Jokes aside, she sees how limiting smartphones has already gotten her more involved in the community. This year, she started playing a sport for the first time.
I don't know. That's like a huge social thing for people, and it always has been. But I don't think I've ever really felt like I needed that until now. And I think partly it's because I've always had another distraction.
In other words, her cell phone and social media have always filled up her social battery. Dr. Annie Margaret is the CEO and a co-founder of the Post Internet Project, and her research focuses on how smartphones and social media impact adolescent mental health.
That sense of belonging was kind of the difference between having food and reproductive access and not. We evolved to crave that and to need it. And now we have phones where we have this constant connection, and now our brains can't really tell the difference.
She recognizes that schools will probably see better student focus by enforcing some level of a smartphone ban at school. But when it comes to their overall mental health, smartphone addiction is an individualized thing.
Some people can eat gluten and some people can't. And some people can eat dairy and some people can't. And some people can go on TikTok for 30 minutes and pretty much feel fine, and some people can't.
And some of these addiction issues may be beyond what school districts can fix with a new policy. Dr. Margaret helps young adults limit their smartphone and social media through a series of steps that take place over multiple weeks. Participants set their own goals for cutting back, spend time reflecting on their use, and then learn about addictive design. She thinks that agency makes them more likely to succeed.
The young person is making the choice rather than it's a top-down, you're being told, put your phone down, you have to stop, right? Rather, they're looking at their own behavior and trying to really develop that skill of what healthy media consumption feels like for them.
Students at Aspen High are still overwhelmingly against more restrictive cell phone policies, despite valuing the break they get when they aren't allowed their phones for days at a time. Dr. Margaret suggests phasing in new policies so kids can adjust. But Aspen junior Galindo Bartley thinks ripping off the Band-Aid might be the way to go. Kids will be angry, but she thinks they'll learn to adjust eventually.
People are going to be outdoors more, I feel. Like, I don't know, we're just going to be outside during lunch rather than just like sitting at a table and making a TikTok with your friends. I'd have to like go out and do things.
School district staff are still in the beginning phases of discussing the possible smartphone ban and haven't decided which new policy they prefer. But once they do, they'll request feedback from students, parents, and staff before making a recommendation to the school board. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Hallie Zander.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for clouds tonight with a low in the mid-20s. Saturday brings breezy conditions, cloudy skies, and a high in the low 40s, with a chance of snow developing in the afternoon. Saturday night calls for more wind and snow with a low around 25 degrees. Possible accumulations range from 2 to 4 inches. Expect snow to linger Sunday and Sunday night with wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. The high is near freezing with a low around 20. This has been the news for Friday, March 22nd. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 970-728-3206.
We would like to thank everyone who donated to Kodo during our winter fun drive. A huge thank you to
Ashley Bowling,
Harley Brooke Hitching,
Shannon Perry,
Patricia Chandler,
Sophie Fabrizio,
Willard Haithcock,
Taya J,
Michael Inman,
Anne and Tom Idema,
Lolly Laverkum,
Jim Looney,
Dot and Bill Byers,
Haley Nenadol,
David Roberts,
Gary Rodriguez,
Susan and Bob St. Ong,
Steven Steinberg and Lucy Lerner,
Claudia Tovar,
Tony Wilcox,
Tyler Lucas,
Evan McMillan,
Amy Markwell,
Yana Pollard,
Renee Goldstein,
John and Carlotta Horn,
Rose and Peter Edwards,
Mike Courtney,
Peggy Collins,
Dominique Bruno,
Wilder and Oakley Brown,
and Annie and Tim Swan.
Thank you all so much.
And now, a personal commentary.
Hello, this is Pam Petty. I remember the times and the people, especially the people. I moved here 3 times and have lived in Telluride, ski ranches, and now Mountain Village. I was on Telluride's town council when residents didn't want a mountain village built. And I understand why, but it exists. Now I'm in a position where I don't get around much anymore. Would you use a walker in snow and on ice? I won't. I want to say I am so grateful to the Mountain Village staff and the town council for the daily support they are giving me. Really kind people live and work here. Some longtime Telluride residents still resent Mountain Village, but I wish to say, during these times, people need to come together. Remember, it's a democracy. Thanks for listening, and thank you so very much, Kodo.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You're also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you'd like to comment, please contact the staff person here at KOTO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.